Great worship. Great to be in the house of the Lord. I really like that song, and I really like the one before it. And the one before it. You know, sometimes you, and I've heard it say, you meet people and they say, well, you're my best friend. They meet somebody else and they say, well, you're my best friend. That's okay if everybody's your best friend. So if I say every song's my favorite song, it's okay. You got your Bible this morning, Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. I want to preach on this subject, why I'm not ashamed. This thought's been on my heart and my mind a lot this week. I've been thinking about it. And this is just what God has given me, and I think it's important that we listen to the Holy Spirit and follow it and try our best to follow it and let the Lord lead us. And this is what's on my heart. But I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, Paul, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Romans chapter 9 and verse number 33 says this. It says, "As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Now, Jesus Christ, to some, he is a rock of offense. And sometimes those who believe in him will be persecuted. You might even be mocked a little bit. You know, we don't really want to look at that or think a lot about that. We come into church like this morning and we look around us and there's 250 people that want to be in the house of God. Some of you young people are going to go to school in the morning, and if you live like a Christian and people know you're a Christian, you might be persecuted a little bit. I remember one time in a youth group where we were at church, there was a young lady that was being ridiculed by her friends, or you could say friends, by her peers at school, and they were ridiculing her for the way she lived her life because she did not participate in things that they were doing. Whether that be drugs or alcohol or the illicit activities that they were involved in. And I've been there myself. The Bible says in one place, they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. But this is what the young lady said, and I still remember it. And she said it to her peers, and then she shared it with the youth group. She said, "It would be easy for me to be like you, but it would be harder for you to be like me." And I want to tell you something, young people, don't be ashamed of being a Christian. Amen. If you're the only one in your class that's not drinking, doing drugs, vaping in the bathroom, or going around and living ungodly, praise God. Amen. Now, church, when you go to work, you might go to work and be around people. And here's what surprised me. I worked with a guy for 15 years one time before I found out he went to church. He was a functioning alcoholic. Sometimes we'd go out to dinner and I'd go to see customers and I'd sit there and I'd drink a water. Y'all know I drink coffee. I drank coffee. I looked at him. I've seen them drink 20 in a row. And I think, how in the world can they stand on their feet? I'll tell you how, it never leaves their system. Then I found out this person was on the finance committee at the big church in town, and I'm thinking, I want my life as a Christian to be more than that. And I can remember one time I heard them in the second room. There were a couple of managers, and they were talking about me because I never thought, honestly, I'm just going to tell you, I never thought at one point in my life I'd ever get promoted because I wasn't going to be like that.
That's right. Amen.
And I was given the impression that if you wasn't like that, you're not. And I heard them talking about me. And they said, "Oh, give him time. He'll change."
Oh, yeah.
Then I heard them say this, "Everybody does." Y'all remember that song? I listen to country music. I hope y'all okay with that.
Yeah.
especially solid gold. Well, the guy said, I'm from the old school. And he met his sweetheart from high school, you know, and she had, you know, went off and married the guy that was rich, and he left his mark on the world, and the song said, then he left her behind. And she walked by at the class reunion, she said, call me sometime. And she said, everybody does it. He said, not me. I'm from the old school. Let me tell you something, church. It's okay to be from the old school. It's okay to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not everybody wants what you've got, and here's what I tell people. I tell it to the deacons. I tell it to the preachers. It's when you've got somebody that you can help, you help them. But don't cast your pearls before the swine. Not everybody wants God. Not everybody wants to be in the house of the Lord. And not everybody wants this kind of preaching. And here's something I figured out. People don't mind going to church if it never does anything to them. They check the box. But people don't know how to deal with the Holy Spirit because when it jumps on them, they're just not familiar with it. I want the Lord in my life every day. I want to be where God wants me to be. And I'm not ashamed. You know, he is a rock of offense to the world. Why? Do you know if you lay this on your desk, and I'm going to get to the scripture in a minute. You lay this on your desk at work, and I've done this before. I've had people come in my office kind of like this, and they go. Now, I'll tell y'all what I do. I do that when I see a rattlesnake. But I don't do it when I see the Word of God. You know why people don't like preaching, don't like the Bible? Because if this Bible is true, here's the issue. What it says about you is true. Yes. That's why people have a problem with it. Amen. You see, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Of what? Of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. And can I tell you this? I'm not ashamed of being called peculiar by the world. Do you know in the Old Testament, Jesus, the scripture says that God was looking for a peculiar people. Peculiar. In the New Testament, it says God is looking for a peculiar people. Titus chapter 2, verse number 14 says this. It's talking about Jesus who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. See, I'm not ashamed of being a Christian, of being a peculiar person. And here's the thing about being a Christian. Being a Christian doesn't make me perfect. Folks, I want to tell y'all something. I just turned 54, and I still have to pray about my temper. I still have to watch my mouth. You ever had to do this? Just reach up and get that zipper. We all need to learn how to do that. I'm saved because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and I am not ashamed of it. Because without it, I would be on my way to hell, as the scripture said. I wouldn't be able to make it without God. And I'm not ashamed of the fact that God has worked in my life, and I want him to. Till the world looks at me and they say, why don't you do this and why don't you that? Because God has helped me be able to accomplish things that I would not have been able to do by myself. Where I was weak, he is strong. Where I had trouble, he came. When I needed rescuing, he came and he rescued me. And can I say this? I'm not ashamed of being a part of God's family. You know, we went to a singing a few weeks ago, and we were over there in Gadsden, Alabama. And we went into one of those rooms there at the eating place, top of the river. I'm thinking about fried green tomatoes over there. And we went in there and I looked around and the whole room was filled with God's people. I want to tell y'all something. I was very comfortable. Oh, man. We went over there to the singing and I looked around and I saw that whole assembly full of people that wanted to be there, that wanted to hear some singing, that wanted to worship God. And that was a worship service. That wasn't a concert. Amen. People started praising God and worshiping God, and I looked around and I said, I'm not ashamed of God's people. I'm not ashamed to be around people that when the world looks at them, they look at them as being odd. And that's where we're at today. Do you know that politicians are saying that if this United States is going to move forward the way that they want it to move in a progressive standard, that the churches are going to have to change, that preachers like me are going to have to be got rid of? Can I remind you that there was a man named Adolf Hitler that said the same thing? Don't forget it. I'm not ashamed of being peculiar. And let me tell you all this. I'm not ashamed of being Baptist. Now, folks, denomination don't save you. People say when you get to heaven, there ain't going to be no denominations. I tell you what, when you get to heaven, there's going to be a whole lot of people think, we didn't have it right, did we? They'll get to heaven because they're saved, not for being a Baptist. But I want to tell y'all something. We're not going to get to the point when the name on the sign out here is Unity Fellowship and there is no denomination. We know what we believe. We know why we believe it. And we're going to protect this pulpit and not let just any junk be said from it. Amen? You see, denomination will not save you. But you don't have to be ashamed of being a Baptist. You don't have to be ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Of what? I'm not ashamed of following God. I'm not ashamed of saying, yes, I do pray before making a decision. And when I pray, I actually believe that God hears me. Do you know that there are people today that will laugh at you if you say that? I'm not ashamed of that. And if I say it in front of them and they laugh, I just say, Lord, I know you and I'm going to follow you. And I don't have to share it with them. I'll go over here and share it with somebody that cares. Somebody said something to me this week. They said, boy, if you get talking about the Lord or deer hunting, you can just talk all day. Hey. See, I believe he hears me when I pray. And I'm not ashamed to say that I believe. And here's what I believe, church. I believe the Bible is the inerrant, that means without error. That means that this is the Word of God. It is without error. That it was written and penned down by holy that men of old, they were moved on by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not ashamed to say that I believe that. I'm not ashamed to say that I was created by God in the image of God for the purpose of God. You ever met anybody that didn't believe in God? It's sad. It's sad. You know, here's the thing about a Christian. I know why I'm here. I know what my purpose is in life. I know who my Creator is. And I know where I'm going when I leave. Amen. They don't have any of that. Amen. And here's the thing. Just because they don't believe it doesn't mean I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to say it. See, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he was born of a virgin birth, just like the Bible said. I believe that he lived on this earth for 33-odd years, and yes, he did live a sinless life, just like the Bible said. I believe that he died on a cross for my sins, and that when he hung there on that cross, he didn't just hang in the place of Barabbas, he hung in my place, and all of my sins were placed upon him. And I believe that the tomb is empty. And I believe that because he lives, we can live. And I believe what Paul wrote, he said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Folks, we don't want to lose our loved ones, but here's something we can rejoice about. When they close their eyes in death, immediately they are at home with God. And in our lives, as we live them here, it's just like me. When I got home last night, I was so tired. I sat down in that recliner, and I said, hand me that blanket right over there. I eased off into a zone, and Kendra said, you just going to sleep in there all night? I said, I hadn't been here but a minute. Let me tell you something about eternity. It may seem like a long way because we love them, but it's going to be just like tomorrow. We'll be there, and they'll turn around, and they'll say this. They'll say, there you are. I've been looking for you. That's our promise. You think I'm ashamed of those things? No. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the news media says. I don't care what the politicians say. I am not ashamed to be a Christian. And that professor, that teacher that you have that doesn't believe it, they're lost. They're on their way to hell. And I'd love to have them here this morning to tell them about it. I'm not ashamed to say that I believe in the Holy Spirit. Don't you need that? You ever had a time that you just needed God to come in where you were at and just wrap around you and strengthen you and comfort you and give you what you need? Because you can't do it by yourself. I tell you what we need as Christians. We need to be in the presence of God and be familiar enough with the Spirit of God that any position of our life, we can just look up there and say, Lord, I need you right now. And he'll come
I know you love your children. Those that don't believe in God do. They ought to understand. You ever heard your children cry?
Oh, yeah.
And it's that kind of cry that makes you move.
Yep. Yeah.
Mama's, it's like this. Your hands can be in bread dough, but it's that kind of cry that makes you run out with it on your hands. Daddy's, you can be turning wrenches and have grease, but it's that kind of cry that makes you drop them and run. I want to tell you something. When God's people cry out to Him, He comes to our rescue.
Yeah.
And He comes because He loves us.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed. Why? Because He is. Any person who is willing to take the time, and you can study this if you want, to study the evidence for Jesus Christ, the historical evidence for the existence of Jesus and the kind of person He is. Let's just take and say, I don't believe the Bible for just a minute. There are people who said, I don't believe the Bible. They laid it aside and they say, I'm going to study it. I've even heard got a book by a man. He said, I set out to disprove the resurrection of Christ. He said, with my ability, my intelligence, this is a man with a PhD. He said, I was going to rebuttal the Bible, and I was going to make some of these Christians look like fools. He said, I started studying. I started looking. I looked at the archaeological evidence. I looked at the historical evidence. I looked at what secular writers had written. He said, I come to the conclusion that the Bible was true. And he said, I myself became a Christian. And he wrote the book, and the title of the book is Who Moved the Stone? He knew who moved the stone. God moved the stone. You see, the historical evidence for Jesus is overwhelming. That's why I believe. But when I got saved at 12, I didn't know that. See, when I got saved at 12, I was sitting right where you're at, Miss Becky. That's where my place down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church. Second row, all the way from when I was in kindergarten. You can still go down there if the church were there and see where I used to take an ink pen and make little cars and stick them together with chewing gum. Grew up down there. And then as I grew up and I became a teenager, and I was remember I was there at a revival when I was 12 years old, and Earl Partain preached the gospel, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and what I'd done my whole life going to church, the Holy Spirit said, that preacher is talking to you.
Yeah.
I got saved because the Holy Spirit jumped on me.
Yeah, you got that right.
I know all this stuff today because I've studied since. But when the Holy Spirit comes by, and He speaks to you, that's God. You see, I believe because of the historical evidence. And here's why I believe. I believe based on what the Bible says and what I understand. He is the great I Am. See, our God has no equal. He is the only God. And the Scripture says that every knee shall bow to Him. If you study about the other religions of the world, what you'll find is all of those tombs still have bones in them. And every one of them, their plan of salvation or their plan of eternal life has to do with what the person does and how they can work their way into heaven. Some of them don't even know if they're going or not. If the Jehovah Witness knocked on your door, just ask them, do you know that you're going to heaven? I do.
Amen.
They come to me, they run, Brother Billy. I believe because I believe He's the Creator. I cannot look at the amazement of God's creation and not believe there's a God. I cannot look at the creation, but I want to tell you something. You got kids, you got grandkids? I got a little granddaughter that when I hold her and I just stare into her face, and those blue eyes look back at me, and I do things, and she smiles, and I look at her, and I'm amazed. And I think about what David said when he wrote, he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth right well. How can you look into the eyes of a child? How can you look at God's creation and not know that there is a God that created us? It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. See, He's Lord. This is where people get sideways. They get to this point and they say, well, I won't bow. I won't surrender. They want to be God. And they won't let God be God. Here's the thing about letting God be God. I will tell you right now, you will have questions that are not going to be answered. You're going to have heartaches that until you get to heaven and sit before God, they're not going to be healed down here. And yes, you will face things that are overwhelming to you. And the only way we make it through it is by the grace of God.
Amen.
But you got to come to the point that you let Him be Lord and let Him be God and honor Him and surrender to Him, knowing that you're not ashamed because you know who He is no matter what. I was talking to a man this week, and he was talking about suffering and suffering loss. And I said, you know, sometimes we can come before the Lord, and we can argue before Him, and we can plead before Him, just like a son does with his father. Doesn't the Scripture say that we call Him Abba, Father, which is like Daddy? He wants a relationship with you. But when you do, here's the key. Never leave Him. Answers, no answers. What you have to be willing to do is let that grace come on you and pour over you and just keep walking with Him. You see, I'm not ashamed because I know He's that kind of a God. I'm not ashamed because I believe He is coming again.
Yes.
And if we look around us at what's happening in this world and you study it, you'll realize that things are getting lined up for leaving for the meeting in the air. In the last days, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. There's so many signs, the printing press, the gospel going to the whole world, evangelism going to the whole world, the signs that we see in the times, the pestilences, the earthquakes in diverse places. Study all that and understand how it's changed. You see, He's coming. And when He comes, here's what I believe. I'm going to recognize Him. I don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but it says you'll see Him from the east to the west. Going to be a great sound of a trumpet. Every eye shall behold Him. I'm not going to run out and wonder, is that aliens? I'm not going to run out and be afraid, but I'm going to say, that's my Jesus. And the Scripture says that those that are dead in Christ will God bring with Him. I just can't help but believe that because God can do this, He's going to allow us to see. I see Mama. I see Daddy. Hey, there's the preacher. There's the deacons that signed the ordination papers. Hey, there's my sister. I was up at a Singing on the Mountain primitive quartet in a group called Soul Vision, and there was a man that sang a song that he had written. Right in the middle of the song, he hollered out, I'm going to see my son. And when he said it, I felt it deep. But can you say that? Some can say, I'm going to see my son. Some can say, I'm going to see my dad. Some can say, I'm going to see my wife or I'm going to see my husband. All of us have much waiting on us on the other side. And the older we get, the more we got over there, sometimes to the point that there's more there than there is here. I'm not ashamed. And I'm not going to be ashamed. And can I tell you this? Just because somebody's got a PhD don't make them smart. Just because they went to an Ivy League school, I've had one of those bosses. He can tell the difference between green and blue. I tried to explain it to him. Wisdom is skill at living.
Yes.
I'm going to have to move. I'm going to quit in a minute. It ain't late.
Come on, brother.
Some of the greatest men of God I've ever known didn't even go to high school, Brother Tom.
Yeah.
One of the greatest pastors I ever had in my life did not finish the eighth grade. But you could sit down and talk to that man, and he had more wisdom.
Yeah.
And I miss him. That was my dad. I watched the way he lived, the way he honored God. There's a whole lot of people out there claiming to be smart. But what they're trying to do is keep you from being a celebrated Christian that honors God. Trying to keep you young people from thinking for yourself and thinking this is the way you ought to think. I'll tell you what, there is a God. And one day the Bible says that we're going to stand before him, and here's what it says: every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, folks, I don't wear my religion out on my sleeve at work, but I'm not ashamed either. And I do not run with them to the same excessive right. When I'm around people that aren't like me, I don't adapt and become a chameleon. Y'all know what that's like? So what's that? When in Vegas, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And if it happens in Vegas, it stays in Vegas, right? Is that it? Can I tell y'all what the Bible says? Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And I can give you three or four more that go right along with it. God sees everything, and he sees you, and he knows where your heart's at this morning. And I believe with all of my heart, because I feel the presence of the Lord. Somebody needs Jesus this morning. And here's where you're at in your life. It's decision time. Am I going to make the decision that I'm going to follow God? There's a whole lot of people that close their eyes in death. And they say, God, can I just have 10 more seconds? Because I knew you were real. And I had every intention, Lord, one day, of getting saved. Problem is, time ran out. I'm kind of to the point in my life that I'm looking at my life like a calendar. Every day you peel off one page. If your life was that way, says this in Romans chapter 90 and verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. You know what I'd really want to do? I'd peek. I'd see what the last day was. And I'd start planning accordingly. I'd probably plan to get rid of a lot of my junk so Kendra wouldn't have to deal with it. But we don't know, do we? You don't know. It could be tomorrow. And I'm to the point in my life, if I look at my life according to the natural days of man, I don't have a whole lot left now, and I just turned 54. Some of you living on the credit, praise God. Amen. Give him the glory, amen? But here's what we need to do until Jesus comes. Because I'm not ashamed, because I understand what I do, I need to get busy serving God, because there's work to do. And what you need to do is you don't need to waste time. Don't waste time. Don't live your life away from God thinking you're out there having fun. Here's what the devil does. He'll sell you a bill of goods. It's a counterfeit, because everything that Satan has is a counterfeit for something God has better for you. And he wants to keep you believing a lie, because he is the God of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air, that you can't be happy and satisfied being a Christian because you can't do this and you can't do that. Can I tell y'all something? I'm not ashamed to say I don't have to have that to be happy. Now, when I tell y'all I enjoy church on Sunday, not just any Sunday, but every Sunday, more than the Super Bowl, I do. I believe God's speaking to somebody. Yeah. You say, well, I just need strength. Well, then come get it from God. Amen. I just want to get closer to God. Well, you start by taking a step toward him. Yes. Bible says if you'll draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. You take a step, he takes a step. Maybe you're here and you've never made a decision to follow Christ. You can make that sitting right where you're at. It comes in here. But there's nothing like getting up and taking a step.
Amen.
In a church that still believes in an old-fashioned altar.
Amen. That's right.
Where people love you, that will not judge you, that will welcome you, pray with you if you want it. If you're down praying, somebody puts their arm around you and they say, is there anything I can pray for you about? If you don't want to tell them, just say, I'm praying, no. If you want to tell them, you share it with them. That's between you and God, though. But here's what you got to do. You got to move. You got to come. And you got to let God do only what God can do. And I told y'all before, if I could buy talent at Walmart, I'd buy it. But if I could save you, I'd come step on your foot. And I'd pour it down your throat. But I can't. You ever had anybody like that? Oh, if I could just put Jesus on them. They need him. It's a personal decision about a personal relationship with the living God. If everybody would you please rise to your feet? As we open the invitation, we're going to have a song that's sung. If you want to pray for any reason, you come. Men will pray with men, women with women. If you want somebody to pray with you as you come down, if you'll just speak to me, we'll get somebody to pray with you. The altars are open. We're also going to open the doors of the church. God spoke to your heart and you feel like this is the place that God wants you to be. Now, let me tell y'all something, church. We're gonna have to have more room, and God's going to provide that. I have no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
Because we want to honor God with what we do. It ain't about what we do. It's about Him. By being in a position that we can have what we need to be able to minister to and reach this community. This week, Brother Tom told me we had 11 rededications and one saved at the jail. God is still working. People say, well, God's not doing anything. Yes, He is. And I want to tell you something. He's looking for a place that He can go amongst His children and perform, because there's a lot of places He's not welcome anymore.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
If God spoke to your heart and you feel like coming, would you please come?